Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Jesus the Christ, as recorded by St. Luke. I want to share verses 36 through 48. For those of you that are familiar, the 24th chapter is the Emmaus story, the walk to Emmaus, with the disciples being accompanied by Jesus, appearing mysteriously as they traveled. And I bet you they thought about screaming too. But this narrative comes after they have returned, the disciples have returned to Jerusalem and told the others about what they have encountered. And they are talking to the disciples, and Luke records, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Back on the first Sunday of August, I began a series of sermons that ran parallel to the Bible study that we concluded this past Tuesday, based on Adam Hamilton's book entitled The Message of Jesus. I know it was a few weeks ago, and I know that you have slept since then, but I've asked this question a couple other times in different settings, so I'll ask it now. That very first sermon, in that very first chapter of Adam's book, The Message of Jesus, focused on one fundamental truth about the kingdom of God. Do you remember what I said? The kingdom of God has come near, Jesus said. It is here upon this earth that the kingdom of God has begun. It is not simply a reward for those who have been good in this life, in the next life. The kingdom of God is in our midst. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. As we come to the close of this series of sermons, I think it is worth pointing out that at the end of all four of the Gospels, there is this emphasis by the writers of the gospel, echoing the words of Jesus about how the disciples are witnesses to this reality of his life, death, and resurrection, of the forgiveness of sin and repentance in his name, and how the kingdom of God is coming day by day. We are to be witnesses that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We are to be witnesses to the love of God for each and every one of his children. And when I talk about children of God, I hope you have figured out by now, I'm not talking about the kids on the steps. I'm not talking about those of us in this sanctuary and sanctuaries across the globe this morning. I'm not talking about church folks. Church folk. I'm talking about every living, breathing soul that has ever walked this earth. Because Genesis clearly says that we, all of us, have been created in the divine image of God. Jesus came to help us understand what it means to bear the image of God in our lives. Last Sunday, the sermon was entitled, How the World Will Know. And I talked about how Jesus had mentioned how the world will know that we are indeed Christian, that we are indeed his followers, by the way we treat one another. The gathering verse for the children's moment, the gift of love. If we have not love, everything else that we say and do is meaningless to a world that wants to doubt us to begin with. The writer of Ephesians talks about that we are to only speak those words that encourage, that build one another up, that give hope and encouragement. And let me simply say that by that standard, a lot of people on Facebook should have shut up this week. Okay? A lot of people should have shut up, because the words that have permeated social media this week, so very much of it was anything but loving. But this morning, as we come to the end, you will notice that I entitled the sermon as How the World Will Know, Part 2. And by this, I am simply wanting to say that, yes, they will know we are Christians by our love for one another, but they will know the reality of the kingdom of God by our words and actions in the midst of the world. Jesus said to the disciples, we are witnesses. When you think of the word witness, what do you think of? Someone say court? No, a court of law. A witness is someone who testifies to what he or she has seen. Right? I will confess that I can never, ever be a witness in a court of law. For the simple fact that I know how poor my recognition, observation skills are. And if I sleep at all, I don't even have to sleep. I can do something in the morning and have forgotten it completely in the afternoon. We laugh about that a little bit. I laugh about that, but But that's the truth, y'all. I would tell any lawyer, any attorney, district attorney, I can't do it because I don't trust myself. I don't trust my own memory, my own eyesight about what I've seen necessarily. I know how many details I miss. But I can bear witness to my belief in the love of God and my belief in the good news of the life that is offered in Jesus the Christ. But I want to assert this morning that just perhaps, when Jesus declared to the disciples that day, on the evening of the day of resurrection, when he told them, "You are witnesses," that I think he meant more than just testifying to what they have seen and what they have heard. You see, if you go to the dictionary, you will find that the word witness has a second meaning. It means that a witness is evidence or proof of something. The feast that my mom and aunt laid out for decades on Thanksgiving Day is witness to their skill in the kitchen. Right? You get that? To witness can be to prove something. I would argue that not only does our love for one another prove that we are Christians, but I would argue that our love for one another and our love for God's creation and how we act in the world is witness to the reality of the kingdom of God. Or it's not. Either we do reflect the kingdom in our words and our actions, or we don't. And I understand, we are human beings, and we are going to fall short. We are going to make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes are made out of ignorance. Sometimes those mistakes are made out of short-sightedness and not really thinking about what we were saying and doing. But sometimes I fear those mistakes are almost intentional. Almost intentional. Because we don't want to reflect God's love for all of creation. We don't want to love everybody, even though we know we're supposed to. We don't want the other side to win. We don't want to be seen as weak. We don't want to share the love of God that we claim is in our hearts with the person that might be right in front of us, especially if that person doesn't look exactly like us, or maybe they're not from here. Or maybe they've got the wrong bumper sticker on their car. It is through our actions that we bear witness to the reality that the kingdom of God is, in fact, in our midst. Our words are so easy to speak, aren't they? We know to say certain things in certain situations. We know what we're supposed to say, what is expected of us. One of the benefits and one of the disadvantages of being a pastor is far too often people say to me what they think they are supposed to say to me. Even though they know it's not true in their heart, but they know what the preacher is expecting to hear. They know what they're supposed to say that so that they look good in the eyes of the preacher. That's a blessing sometimes because I like seeing the best in folks. But it's also a disadvantage sometimes because it's hard to have an honest conversation when you're not being honest. Right? Our lives, the choices that we make, people in the world see, and they notice. And we can talk all we want to about God's love and grace and how we're supposed to, you know, feed the hungry, visit the sick, how we're supposed to love our enemies, how we're supposed to forgive one another. We can talk all we want to about that. But if we don't bear witness to it, if we're not proof of it by our lives, it rings quite hollow. Do any of you remember a woman by the name of Osceola McCarty? Anyone? She was in the spotlight back in the late 90s. Osceola was born in Shubuta, Mississippi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that one right, but she moved to Hattiesburg as a child. When she was in the sixth grade, her aunt, an aunt who had no children of her own, was hospitalized, and when she was dismissed from the hospital, she needed home care. So Osceola, in the sixth grade, quit school and never went back. She cared for her aunt. She later became a laundress or washerwoman, however you want to phrase it, like her grandmother had been. And she continued this. This was her life work until she had to give it up in 1994 because of arthritis. Osceola never married. She never had any children of her own. But she had been taught, even before she dropped out of school, about the importance of saving money. She opened her first savings account at First Mississippi National Bank. And over the years, she opened several others with the money that she earned as a laundress. She never owned a car. She walked everywhere she went, pushing a shopping cart nearly a mile to get her groceries. She rode with friends to Friendship Baptist Church. She did not subscribe to any newspaper because she considered that an extravagance. She only owned a black and white television, but she only received the broadcast channels. Near the end of her life, one of the banks that she had an account with sat down and had a conversation with her, and she shared what she wanted to do. Story goes that she took out 10 pennies. One penny would go to Friendship Baptist Church. One penny each would go to three relatives. And the other six pennies would go to the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg. And those six pennies round up being about $150,000 for a woman who washed clothes for other folks for a living. Her life was a witness to the frugality and the importance of saving that she had learned early on. You see? Witness is evidence, is proof of something. And so I would just encourage you to consider that just maybe when Jesus says, you are witnesses, he's not just talking about what we have seen, but he's talking about being the evidence of the reality that the kingdom of God is indeed here right now. And it is wherever God's love is shared, not just in word, but in deeds. Because again, as we sang as the children came forth, if we have not love, all our words are noise and nothing more. My challenge for us as members of this faith community here at Bartley United Methodist Church is that we would indeed be witnesses that the kingdom of God has come near. And we are helping to make that so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our affirmation.